Joshua, I need. Oh yes, He knows just what I need. He satisfies and every need supplies. Yes, He knows just what I need. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord. Bless the holy name, O Lord, today. Thy people everywhere that gathered, O Lord, around Thy word in the wonderful name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Father. We all bless Thee, Lord. We thank You, Father, for Thou art worthy of praise, O Lord. And we thank You, Lord, for Your grace today that we can come together, Lord. Wherever we gather together in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, just to have a little time of worship, O Lord, with You. And to fellowship with You, Lord, and to know Your word. Asking right now, Father, as You approach Thy word, asking that You bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, may be seated. I want to conclude this subject that we have been on, this series. Be prepared for what is coming. And I said it's important to know not just what is coming, but to know that we are made ready. All right, then let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, 17 again. Just go over that. And I have several charts here and things to let you know, to look at it and make you to recall what you have learned. All right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, 17, and we always know this verse so well, but as I said, there's always the mystery in the way that it's written. And though there are some that disagree because of the way that I brought it out, that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 16 to 17, these things that Paul talks about, they are actually three phases of Christ's coming, or His parousia. Alright, it's not a sudden catching away or anything like that. It is a parousia. It is His coming or His second advent. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Alright, so we also know that coupled with this verse that we have found over in 1 Corinthians 15, we all know so well as well, you don't have to turn to it, but let me, 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumps. Remember this, when we look at 1 Thessalonians 16 to 17 and coupled with this passage here, we know that it is only at the last trump that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Alright, so it is at the last trump. So now, I want to say this for those who disagree with me, that there are three phases. And they are saying that well, you know, because Brother Abraham did not teach it, Brother Jackson did not teach it, so Brother Ken is wrong and all this thing. Just hold your horses. Let us look at Scripture. You can say, so-and-so don't teach it, so-and-so didn't teach it. It doesn't make any difference. Alright? There are a lot of things that Brother Abraham did not teach. There are a lot of things that Peter did not teach, so we don't listen to Peter, we listen to Paul. Yeah, there are things that Paul didn't know that John brought to us. So we forget about Paul and we go to John. So what is all that? Right? The ministry of God is that not one single minister of God, be he is an apostle or a prophet or a messenger, knows everything. We are all complimented. That's not why the Bible says apostles. Do you hear that? Apostles. Prophets. So they are all plural. And they are scattered all over the world. And they are, the five ministry is anointed of God and ordained of God. The minister will inter-associate with one another. And then, they, whatever God has given them in part, as Paul said, we know in part, so we preach in part. Amen. Paul did not say we know in fullness. There's no such a thing. Only foolish people, I want to tell you this, only foolish people, foolish believers, because foolish people are out there who doesn't know the truth, doesn't know the gospel. But foolish believers who claim to know, believe the Bible, believe the message, and yet refuse to look into the word of the Lord. Do you see that? Malachi 4:5, it said, God sent Elijah to turn us, last day's children, back to the faith of the apostolic father. So it's high time people start learning the fathers. However you find the fathers, like in the book that you have. And if God started with the apostles, laying the foundation and the foundation throughout the church age, after the that Nicolaitan spirit came in and Antichrist spirit started to work and putting a man on the throne and calling himself Vicarius Filidale. And then what? Vicar of Christ and he speaks on behalf of Christ? And then what? And that's why we have a problem. It's become one man. Everything that comes up from the mouth is absolute. So what's the difference about the anti-message people? You see? So let us learn the fast. So in the end time, then there must be apostolic ministry. They're scattered out there. I don't know who they are out there. If they be true, they will be true to the word of God. You know. Remember that it is not a one-man ministry. Someone has said that very well. And yet, what happened? Lots of things happen when people start pushing for one man. And you have a problem with that. So, when we look at that in 1 Thessalonians and 1 Corinthians, we realize this. There is a shout. Then there is the voice of the archangel and the trumpet. And at the last, so only the dead in Christ shall rise. And then we are alive, we're caught together, meet up Christ in the air. Now, for those who say that the voice of the archangel is Christ shouting to raise the dead first, that means to say that they have misplaced the scripture. Simple as that. The Bible says, at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Not at the voice of the archangel that the dead in Christ rise. I want to show you that as plain as simple scripture. That is why I said many people who rubbished, a lot of things that I said, that's fine with me. But don't rubbish the word of God. Alright. Okay. Now, I want you to say further. Let's just go and look at John chapter 5 verse 25. I want you to look at this verse because I want to teach you something here. John chapter 5. And verse 25. A scripture many people have missed. Perhaps do not know even know where to place it. Jesus said, "Very, very, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Now, people are thinking about this verse out of context. They are saying that Jesus said, that one of these days, the dead in the grave will hear His voice and they that hear Him will rise. And they are saying only the Christian who died and they are in the grave, buried there, they are dead, they hear His voice, they will resurrect. Is that what He says? If anybody have any wisdom, look within the context. Just let you know here, look at it. Alright? Verse 24, "Very, very, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believe on him that sent me have everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Correct? Jesus is already talking about his preaching. He's saying that he that hear my voice and believe on whom? On who? On God who sent me have everlasting life. Very, very assent to you. The hour is coming and is now even. Now. Not later. The hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and there they hear shall live. Who are the dead? Not the physically dead. There are people who are religiously dead, spiritually dead. And if they can hear, then you live. Oh, I heard the prophet's message. Okay, that's enough for me. Then you follow through. If you don't follow through the message, you have nothing. You only have a shell. Do you understand what I'm saying? Alright then. So that gives you an idea what we're looking at. Now, I want to read to you some quotes. Quotes of Brother Brown. Oh, Brother Gerard, I thought you said you don't believe in quotes. He misunderstood. I don't believe in quotes taken out of Brother Brown's sermon to make into doctrines. That is what I don't believe in. It's just that people can quote the Bible and then formulate a doctrine of Trinity, of eternal hellfire, of a mother of God. And even, I can even quote the scripture and make you just say that there is a grandfather who is God the grandfather. Remember what I gave it to you? You don't remember. You go to the book of Revelation, you can find it there. So altogether we have five gods if you want to. Four gods, one goddess. You understand what I'm saying now? So you can pick up the scripture and do whatever you want with it. That's why it takes an ordering of God. It takes the gift of God. It takes the ministry of God to bring out the truth. Alright, so I'm going to quote to you what Brother Abraham said. You know, wisdom, that is to say, for you to understand. It's something about doctrine. Now, this is what Brother Abraham said. Now, therefore the Holy Spirit is for the individual. That's the reason organization get the people out of line of God every time. Because God gives something new constantly. He's moving on like that. But this is always the background. Watch and see it as it peels off in the Bible. Look at it, how it's peeling off in time. Then you can see where you are getting at. You see, Revelation is progressive. Alright? Next. I'm so glad that God don't keep us still. He got something new all the time. Just one blessing after another. Right? Okay? Finally, outbreak of Pentecost coming out of all it. What happened then? Did it run well? What did hinder you? You went right back in the same mud you come out of. Right back in the same slop. Went back to discrepancy. And to make organizations, you had to compromise on the word. And every time God would send something new, you could not receive it. That's right. Discrepancy is a game. Yeah, how many people in the end time, how many preachers in the end time are compromising with the word? The word! The word! When Brother Ben talks about the word, he's not talking about his word. He's talking about the word of God. You know. Already, five souls. You know, disappointed to hear some of these African brothers said, the Bible is a bush. The spoken word book is easy to understand, but the Bible is a bush. Oh my. Next, bless all of us, Lord. He was praying, Brother Brian, who has been a long time in the world. We pray that you teach us new things by thy word, not new things by some ideas. Huh? Give us better understanding by thy Spirit, Lord. May he come and interpret the word. The only interpreter we have is the Spirit. We pray that he grant that to us today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now when he said, the only interpreter we have is the Spirit, that is so true. But yet, I have people here in Singapore who would tell me, huh, that that's a ministry. So, they don't even need any apostolic ministry or anything. Or they just sit around and read the Bible or put on the tips of Brother Abraham and they know it. Because the Spirit is the teacher. Then why did the Holy Spirit, who is the teacher, send teachers then? Alright. That much. So, with that, I want to show you another chart here. Oh, this chart, the marriage of the Lamb or the coming of Christ to the church. Now, if you look at the chart, this is known as the coming of Christ for His church or the marriage of the Lamb. This was particularly one of the earliest charts that I did when I wrote on the marriage of the Lamb. Okay? So now you can see that it's a simple understanding for people to look at that in the parousia, Christ is the bridegroom. He comes down from the heaven, which is His home, in the evening time. And that's why we see in Matthew 25. That's where I wrote about the marriage of the Lamb, Matthew 25. So it is the evening time, and when the marriage procession starts, the bridegroom comes down from heaven, and then, of course, as he comes down from heaven, he always sends his forerunner. And that's why we have the shout, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him." Alright, you can follow the arrows. Simple. Then when those who heard the shout, they come out of the system. Now it's the evening time because we are in the evening time. Now let's all remember this. We are in the Laodicean churches. Okay, this is the last church. It's ending. Closing out before the morning comes. Then we have the marriage wedding and the marriage feast. And those who heard the shout went into the marriage. And they sup there in the marriage. Now, in the marriage, of course, you have the feasting, and then you have the bridegroom and the bride will go into the nuptial chamber. Alright. So that's where you find that that is when it will be later after their feast, they will enter in. This is only between the bridegroom and the bride. The nuptial chamber, the voice of the archangel. This is just plain common sense. We got the short message, we enter into the second phase, which is the voice of the archangel. As I said this, there's only one archangel to us as here on this, as far as the church is concerned. Christ is our archangel. The word all means chief, main, the prime messenger. There are many archangels in the spirit world. But there is only one archangel in this earth. And Christ is the chief messenger. He sent his messenger out in the Old Testament and New Testament. But he is the archangel. And that voice is what we hear. And so we are in the bride will be in the nuptial chamber. And we will be hearing the voice of the archangel, "I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me." So in there, in the nuptial chamber, is when the Lord will reveal the apocalypse. Alright? Apocalypse means the revelation. Christ revealing himself to the bride so that she could be made ready. Alright? Then that's when the last trump comes. When she is ready, then we have this last trump. "Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away." And that's when the bridegroom takes his wife and make herself ready to go home. And that's when the day break. And then we have the rapture. That's the epipenia. Then we see now the physical Christ getting the bride. And the marriage of the Lamb is come. And his wife make herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. And so we go up into the home of the bridegroom. We can call him our husband then, and thereby we have the marriage supper of the Lamb. This will be the finale. It will be the grand marriage supper of the Lamb in the heaven. And the Lord Jesus will present present himself and his wife to the Father. I want you to recall this because it's all on my website, and you can see it right there. Then we have the Revelation chapter 10, the final event. This chart was drawn when I wrote Revelation chapter 10. And this is, Revelation chapter 10 is showing us in John's vision, Christ coming down. As we will see in the book of 1 Thessalonians, Christ descend. And here is the vision that John saw. He came, his descent. But he decided to claim first the Gentile before he goes to claim his chosen nation of people Israel. That's why he put his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the land. Alright, so we have seen this chart, and then you look at the chart, you will know that in 1956 or 1953, the Eurasian Church here, the messenger, Brother Branham, proclaimed the message, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him." And then in 1963, that's when the seal, which was opened already by Christ in the vision to John. But here is the revelation of the open seals. Now, as I said this, the seven seals, they were not opened in 63. They were not opened in 1963. They were already opened back when Jesus saw John's vision. Remember? It's only that there's a... trying to get people to understand. There is an opening. There is a revealing. And then there is a fulfilling. There are all three phases as well. John saw it open. It was a white horse. Huh? Then a red horse. Then a black horse. Then a pale horse. Huh? And then the sword of the altar, the earthquake. And then there was a... So this is all just something shown to John. But what do they mean? So he takes 1963 for God to bring it through to Brother Branham, to us. And then we see the revelation of what those seals really are. Do you see? But then those that were things that were revealed, make us to understand what there are, must be fulfilled. And that's why the first horse, second horse, third horse, fifth horse, they were all fulfilled and they're still ongoing. Right? They were all, the seal will go right on to the end. It's still on. The fifth seal, the sword under the altar, those who were murdered, so to speak, killed by the Nazis. And there will be the other half that they will be killed in the future in the tribulation period. And then there will be a great earthquake that will soon come. And then they will have the seventh seal, which is placed last, which shows the coming of the Lord, and everything ends right there. You see. Now, the seventh seal wasn't revealed. Oh, they said, it's nowhere that it was being revealed and being fulfilled at the beginning of the church. No. It's only at the end time that we see it. Alright, and then of course, after Brother Man passed away, then the five-fold ministry began to work. Because once you get a message and restore, that put the people back into the word, that's when the five-fold ministry can actually work to perfect the bride. Do you remember? Huh? That's why as long as Brother Man was around, there's no way that the church can be perfected. Because he is giving out a message to make us to understand the importance of getting back to the Apostle Father's feet. And as long as Rebecca was sitting on the camel train, coming home from Paddan Aram, all the way down to where Abraham and Isaac were, there's no way that Isaac and Rebecca can be together. Because she's on the way to him. So the moment that she reached the home, that's when Isaac can take her and bring her into her mother Sarah's tent. And what about Eliezer? Eliezer went to the camel stable with the camel, and that ends the story of that steward. And so the same thing when Brother Branham went out the scene in 65, his ministry, it's over. He had done his job. The message has been carried out. Rebecca has now to go and meet Isaac. And that's why we have to meet our Isaac. who will take us into his word. And there in the nuptial chamber, he whispered all that revelation to us. And that's where through that fivefold ministry, he, the voice of the archangel of Christ, speak and teach the spiritual Rebecca through that ministry. Do you understand that? And then when she is perfected, or when she, well, the saint is perfected, means that no more thoughts to and flow, and she must make herself ready, then the final revelry will come in, the thunders. The seven thunders will utter their voices. The final revelry, a revival to gather home the elect members to the bride, of the bride wife. And then we will be taken up to meet the Lord in the air and sit with him at the marriage supper of the Lamb. While the bride is with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, the gospel will go back to the Jew. Do you understand? Okay. Now let me explain another one. This one here. This is the one that I drawn after the Lord has given me to show the merging of all those teaching that I have had taught over the years, which is at the bottom of the chart. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. Then you have the two dolls and the Revelation 10, and then the from glory to glory, the butterfly metamorphosis. You remember that? Now the chart here is very simple for you to understand, and if you cannot understand the chart, then I don't know what you're looking at. Top left hand corner, you see from the groom's home, the perusia of the groom. So, as you know, I think this is very typical of the Eastern wedding. We have this in China. We have this also in this part, different part of Asia. Alright? The musicians and the forerunner will always go ahead and create some gaiety or some joy, and the forerunner will be sure that he goes forward and prepare the way for the bridegroom. Like John the Baptist, a forerunner who came to prepare the way of the Lord. So you see right there that we have the prophet of God said, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, come up to meet him." So he reached the church, or he reached to announce it to the bride and all those that are waiting for the bridegroom to come, before the bridegroom comes. So there is this transition period. Alright? So in the church system, as you look at it, we know there's darkness inside, or semi-darkness. Semi-darkness. An American call it semi, we call it semi-darkness. Outside, of course, is darkness. But here was a little light that the groom's messenger, the forerunner, he carries a firebrand. Right? And that's the light. That's the beginning of what greater light is to come. So he announced, "Behold, come up to meet him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That is true. And then you see the friend of the bridegroom start to fade away. Can you see? Between the bride and the bridegroom enter into the marriage, but the friend of the bridegroom, he fades away. Now, I don't believe that Rebecca, when she was with Isaac in the nuptial chamber, that when Isaac and Rebecca, they were making love, whisper sweet, nothing, whatever, maybe, that Rebecca was saying to Isaac, "Oh, Elijah said this, Elijah said that." Oh, Eliezer, sorry. Brain fog. You know. But you see, there is this issue. It's not about what Eliezer said. You already heard what Eliezer said. Now it's between you and me, Rebecca. Isaac will tell her, is that what I'm telling you? I'm revealing myself to you. Eliza had done his job to tell you who I am. You are not marrying Eliza. You are marrying me. I don't know why, those of us who believe the Word of God, we are supposed to Bible believe, are we marrying Brother Branham? Are we married to his word, or are we married to the word of Christ? You know, some of this simple thing, that's why I'm a typologist, I always do typing. And I always enjoy it because the Bible is full of type. It's a simple way of looking at truth. And that's what Jesus speaks in parable, he types too. Alright. So now in the marriage chamber, you have the ascension gift ministry. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And in there, the wedding, the marriage feast goes on. You see? And of course, you look there, you can see, I've merged all these final events of the in the parousia of Christ. Harmonizing Matthew 25. Harmonizing 1 Thessalonians 4. With Revelation chapter 3. Chapter 4 and Revelation 10, and the former and latter rain, Joel chapter 2 verse 23, and James 5, 7. All of these are harmonized in this chart. So if you look at the church system, alright, look at the church system where there is. The bride gets ready because she came up when the voice said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," and that's when Brother Bram brought forth that message. Come out of her, right? I'm knocking. You know, open up. And then, the next thing is, a door was opened in heaven. And John was said, come on hither. Now you go to the next phase. And that is where you find, as you enter into marriage, you have the former rain, which is the teaching rain. Did you see that? So in there, we are feasting in the wood. But the bride and bridegroom will go into the nuptial chamber where the bride will become wife. The wife gets herself ready in that nuptial chamber. Before, which of course, the latter rain comes, which the seventh thunder will utter their voices, and then which we are ready will be translated to go up to meet with Christ to the grand marriage supper of the Lamb. Now in the lower part of that chart, you can see the harmonize the whole thing. You have 1 Thessalonians 4, 16, 17. First you have the shout, and the first one-third of the chart on the left, and the center portion of it, you see the voice of the archangel. That's when the bride enters into this marriage, in something with the word of God. And then the third one is a trump. And all these phases are spoken word ministry. They are ministry. And every ministry must have messages. Something that must be uttered to move the bride from one stage to another. And that's where you can see where have the butterfly, the metamorphosis at the bottom. Where the life begins here. When the caterpillar hatch out of the egg. Right? And then as when it comes out, the light, darkness in the shell to come out to light, it starts to eat the greens. When it starts to eat the greens, that's when you start to grow. And you become like what harmonized with the formal rain, that's the teaching rain. And we are now in the formal rain, we are in the teaching rain. We keep on eating until we come to full maturity. And if we go into a cocoon. And that is a cocoon that, remember this, Barbara was shown a vision. Because all the ministers, evangelists of that day, they all had big tent. You know, Barbara was thinking about having a big tent too. And so when he went to this dream, he saw this big tent. So big that inside there was a little room there inside. You know, and then people were queuing up to go in. It was so long a queue, people trying to go in. And the Spirit of the Lord says, I'll meet you in that room. And he said, when you went into the room, You know, before he went into the room, he was seeing people entering, crippled, came out carrying their own crutches. Went in the wheelchair, came out pushing their own wheelchair. Brother Bram was told by the angel of the Lord, said, I'll meet you in there. And he went in. And he said, whatever is in there, I cannot reveal. It's a secret. And that's why we need to go into that room. You know. We go into the nuptial chamber, and that's when, like caterpillar, get into the cocoon. There is something that is happening. There is a revival. You know, here we are. Do you know that each state of Christ ministering to us in these three phases, it has an effect on us? Does it affect you? Does it, does the ministry, the word of the Lord that God sent to Brother Ben, does it affect you? Does it do something to you? Isn't it? We are eating the word, there is something, we know that it's truth, we are blessed, we have some joy, and we feel of spiritual energy. Then when we came into this second phase, now we are hearing the voice and the bridegroom, we are getting more understanding of the word, more understanding of the truth, and we grow and grow. The caterpillar is getting bigger and bigger. Each time it will grow into a change, a metamorphosis. For a small caterpillar, you know, it morphs, throw away the outer skin, and then it grows bigger again, then it came out morphing. I don't know how many times before it entered into a cocoon. And that one will all completely change that creature. And that's what we are talking about. Whatever is going to come, the next phase that we are entering in, the trunk phase, when the seventh daughter uttered their voices, is what is going to change. Yes. Alright. Now I want to go to show you what Brother Bram said also. Again, I'm giving you a quote. What Brother Bram said about the thunders. A word about the seven thunders from the mouth of William Branham. What William Branham said about the seven thunders. Now, this is what he said. There are people who said that the seven thunders have been revealed because they are what was revealed in the seal. So when the seal is opened, they said that's what the thunders are. I don't know how did they get that, because they said Brother Abraham said so, because a question was asked Brother Abraham after this, when he taught on the seal. Brother Abraham said, you know, people asked, what about the thunders? And he said, the thunders what the seals were when they were opened. And that threw them into confusion. You know, many times you wonder why Brother Abraham suddenly says certain thing, and you know, that people just get up, cannot understand, and that's why we have those who do not believe Brother Branham, who said that, you see, he is contradicting himself here and there. You know, so, well, they said that, and because they don't want to believe that anyway. So anyway, let's look at what he said. Alright, I'm not going to read all of the text. I'm going to read the one that is bold, that I have, bold-faced. Now, the first one here, you understand, he's talking about the capstone, somewhere in the middle. Seriously think, if it is, then the pyramid is kept by the seven thunder. You remember the pyramid message? You got to read Baba Amsa to understand that. Pyramid message. It's a capstone. Further down the last line, the headstone, it's a capstone, okay, comes to cap off the church. Does the thunders mean that, my brother? So is that where we are at? Now this is 62, right? When he preached that. Next. Is the mystery all finished? Has the sounding all over? Is that really them seven thunder fixing to utter out something that the little group that he gathered together will receive a rapturing faith to go in the rapture when he comes? So he's talking about the seven thunder. Isn't it? And he's asking a question. Would it be that this is what gives rapturing faith? And that is true. Well, Bhagavatam said, you know, how can we go in the rapture when we don't even have faith to be healed? So we need to have rapturing faith. He got to give rapturing then before we can go, we can go. Do you remember what time I taught about faith, what faith is? We have salvation faith. How do you get salvation faith? It's a revelation. But how did you get it? Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You realize you're a sinner, the Spirit told you a sinner, you need to have a savior, you need to repent, this, right? You understand? You heard the word preached, you say, oh, that's it. And then you receive Christ. And you have that salvation faith. Healing faith. How do you know you're going to get healed? You heard the word preached, you know what the word say. You come to that revelation, you receive it from God. And then you know you're healed. Do you get it? Healing can be instant. Healing can be a little at a time. So rapturing faith the same. Do you think that you can sit down here hearing me preach right now and next moment the rapture, we're all floating up in the air? No. It must be something that is given. Something that is spoken by the Spirit of the Lord through messengers to give us and quicken us for rapturing faith. And that is 62 as well. So next one. Alright, look at the bowl. If it is coming time that the revelation of seven thunder will be revealed to the church, how to go, I don't know. I have just stated what I saw. Now this is what Brother Abraham, understood. Let's continue next one. This is 63 now, the first seal, when he taught on the first seal. Then there coming forth seven mysterious thunders that not even written at all. We know that, that's right. And I believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed in the last day in order to get the bride together for a rapture and faith. Because what we got now, we won't be able to do it. Next. Seven thunders of revelation. May he show the bride how to prepare for the great translation. That's true, isn't it? Have we make ourselves ready? That's the thing. Are we make ready? Next one. About the new name. Jesus received a new name. That's the reason they hollow the way they do and they don't get nothing. It will be revealed in the thunders. Now the new names are revealed in the thunders. So if the thunders already been revealed in 1963 when the seals were opened, what's your new name, Jimmy? What's your new name? She said, can you do, what's your new name? Any of you know your new name? If it is revealed, the thunders already, and thunders already are revealed in 63 when the seals are open, then we shall have the new name revealed to us. My new name is still Richard Gunn. There's no change. So it's no new. Do you get it? Next. The bride hasn't had the revival yet. I'm only showing the read. I'm reading only the bow as much as I can. The bride hasn't had the revival yet. See, of course, all those revival that are out there, they're only for those out there. So he said that there have been no revival there. No manifestation of God to stir the bride. We only have revival what? Only for the understanding of the word. But we need to have a revival in the physical where there's something that comes to change. We are looking for it. It will take those seven unknown thunders back there to wake her up again. He will send it. He promised it. And I believe it. Next. Wait till them seven thunders. Now, Brother Abraham's language, I kind of like it, Kentuckian, you know. Wait till them seven thunders utter their voices to that group who really can take the word of God and hand it there. You're sliced and cut. That's true. And these seven thunders, the voice of the thunders, he's not, I have a lot of believer that says, oh, I'm so happy one of these days. No, we are going to speak the word. And my goodness, when I hear them talk, that they are challenging one another. Huh? Brother Abraham called squirrel. I'm going to call squirrel. The other one guy says, I'm going to call pigs bigger than you. I'm going to call elephant bigger than that. I'm going to call dinosaurs. You know, they think that this is a game thing. This is a message. It is not everyone to speak the word. And you know, if you had to give a speaking the word, I don't know what Brother Jonah would speak. Huh? I don't know what Sister Kenny would speak. Everyone wants to speak something. You know what? It's a, as Bob Bible says, a short ministry. But 40 days, the revival will be. And then we have the revival and we'll go. Right. Alright, next. And seven thunders uttered their voices. And John was even forbidden to write it. See? The coming of the Lord. That's one thing he hasn't revealed yet. That's already after the sea was all. Brother Bram taught on it. This is Christ, the mystery of God revealed when he preached in 63 in July, I believe. Next, because the seven seal, they were silent. No one knew that was the minute or hour that Christ would come, as he revealed to us. The seventh seal hasn't opened yet, you know. That is coming. What I mean, what he's trying to say would be to say he's not revealed yet. Because one of the things about it is that, you know, Bob Abraham's using words that open, people think that, you know, it means open as in open. Now, I conclude with this very simply. In the year 65, before Bob Abraham passed away, he was waiting and looking forward to speak on the seven thunders. After the seventh seal will open in March 63. Alright? I mean, he said that when he opened the seventh seal in March 63, after that he was looking forward to speaking on the seventh thunder. Do you see that? And yet, it's so clear, and we have people trying to say the problem said that the seal was what the thunders, I mean, what the seventh thunders were what the seal were when they were opened. Okay, this is what Brother Bam said. Now, in doing this, I have come here for the purpose of teaching the last vows, the last seven vows, and the last seven trumpets, and the last seven thunders of the book of Revelation. Tying them together in this hour that we are now living, to follow the opening of the seventh seal, the seven church ages. So, he taught on the seven church ages, the seventh seal, then he wanted to teach on the seven thunders. And he said, we couldn't get room to do that, so I hope that soon we can, and we can get a place sufficient for that, either here on Louisville, near Albany, or either put up on tent so that we can just stay as long as the Lord lead us to do it. That was in August 65. And next, and to see this nervous head that we are living in the last week state, I think we'll reveal to you the great hideous thing that we are going to speak on one of these days. When we can get a place sufficient of the opening of those last plagues to be poured out upon the earth. Those vows, rather pouring out the vows, and the seven thunders, and those hideous creatures, hideous sight that are coming upon the earth. So, Brother, I'm still talking about it. And that is 22nd of August. Huh? 3 weeks after he spoke, what? When he teach on the God of this evil age. Next. Now, we are got one of the most dreadful times to go. Through that ever laid before human being. Now I am just waiting for the hour. And when we get, everybody can get a chance where you can get off from work and spend a few days. And we can get set up somewhere where I can speak on those plagues. And think that to fall in the days. And throughout 2 or 3 weeks together and so on. And he mentioned, see those things that will be dropped in and those seven thunders. The last line he said, of course, the whole bunch of you, you know that I know what that means, you see. But let's just wait till the time comes. And that was when the same book, Christ is revealed. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. No, the Samatthana are to come and give recurring faith. But if they already uttered their voices in the mid-60s according to the few different interpretations, why is the blood of Christ still around all these past 57 years? We're still around the rapture plan. And that's why we have a group in Singapore that say that the rapture is over, we are in the millennium. Remember? Huh? And yet, they are still here. Scripturally and prophetically, the Samantana have not uttered their voices because they have yet to appear. The bride is still waiting. When those Samantanas come and utter their voices, their spoken words will fulfill all of what Brother Abraham said in the above. Simple. Not difficult to understand. Now, I was asked this question. But again, if in the last trump that is coming, you said that there are seven men. What if there are no seven men? I was asked this question. One time in America, we were in the car. Brother asked me, he asked me, do you still believe that there are still some? I said, yes. And he replied, saying, you are standing on thin ice. And the brother there in the car started to laugh. I said, no, brother, I'm not standing on thin ice. You are. Because he believed that the fivefold ministry is now thundering forth the seven thunders. I don't get it. The Bible says when thunder utter their voices, and he said the fivefold ministry are uttering the thunders. What do you mean by uttering the thunders? The question is this. Another man asked me, he said, Brother God, you're talking about seven men. It is so hard for people to believe even one man. And you're talking about seven men. Kind of hot, isn't it? And I asked him, I said, Brother, how did you recognize the one man that God sent as William Branford to send the message to you? How do you recognize him? Were you looking for it? How many of us here were looking for that one man? How many of us were looking for Malachi 4? I don't believe anyone. There are probably only a few in the world who look at Malachi 4 and believe that there must be an Elijah spirit sent to the church. And there are just a bunch of you. Probably a handful you can count. How do you know that you have salvation? How do you know that Jesus Christ is your Savior? If the Holy Spirit don't reveal to you, you know nothing. How did the people recognize John the Baptist in their days? How did they recognize Jesus Christ was the Messiah? The few, not the many. So you see, nobody is looking for someone thunderous. Nobody is looking for one man or seven men or five men. We just live the life following the word and let the Lord reveal. Is that not true? You see that? Alright. And I say this. I like the patterns in the Bible. Numerology is so simple. 1, 5, 1, 3, 5, 7, 9. These are all heaven number. Even numbers are earthly. All numbers are heavenly. God sent one prophet, one. Then you have the fivefold ministry, five. Yeah? The gift. And then you have the seven. Thunders. Seven means perfection. All of these are gifts from heaven sent to us. It is not six thunders. It is not four thunders. It is not fourfold ministry or sixfold ministry. No. All right. Now, here I have now prediction. Brother Branham, like many Christians, we all wanted to know when is Christ coming. And we all study the scripture, and when we start to look at it and try to find maybe there are some clues in the Bible that tells, oh, this is the year Christ is coming. Lots of people did that. Back then, John Wesley did that also, you know, very common. Charles Russell's of the Jehovah Witnesses. You have Joseph Smith of the Mormon. And you have Herbert Armstrong of Armstrongism, the one who read the plain truth magazine. If you know today, that one is gone and it's split into two, and one of them is called the Trumpet today, or the PCG, Philadelphia Church of God. Many people have heard predict, and there's one over in Hong Kong back then when I know him, and of course he is now in Australia. He predicted that in the Christ will come in 1981, I think. You see, or 1981. I can't remember now. And he put that in the newspaper, and I told him, no, it's not going to happen. And he told me, he said, if it's not happening, then I'll throw his Bible into the waste basket. I said, no, brother, you take back your word because you're going to need it. How did he arrive at it? He says, yeah, I looked into Zechariah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and Jeremiah, and I calculated the year, and I said, I got it. Yeah. Brother, oh, what did he say? He said this, of course this is from the church's book, but you can get it from the his sermon tape. He said, I sincerely believe and maintain as a private student of the word, along with divine inspiration. What divine inspiration? This one is found in the sermon church's book. And this was edited by Levy. And of course the word divine inspiration is not what Brother Bram said. But he added it, as far as I know. Along with divine inspiration, that 1977 ought to terminate the world system and usher in the millennium. Remember that? You know 1977? Are you familiar? Are you from? Yeah, no, okay. Before that, before 1977 happened, you can see how crazy here in Singapore some of the believers do. It's coming, 1977 is coming, I want to get married. Yeah, you want to get married. And you see, people have a very strange idea. But you know, 1977 came and it went. Even before that, there are some that would argue with me that it must happen. It must happen because Brother Bram said so. I said, Brother Bram said, I predict. I did not prophesy. I can miss it by 100 years or something like that. He said that. Yes. And then, you know, Brother Jackson, he predicted 2004 the rapture would take place. He predicted, but that's okay, predicted, but he said, thus saith the Lord, anything like that. Now, we all look into the scripture, we all try to find the time frame or the year that Christ may come, right? Of course. The reason why Brother Janet said about 2004 was because he was using Hosea chapter 2. After 2 days, you know, God said, I'll come back to you again, that's to the Jew. So he was calculating the 2000 year of church age. You know, and how did he calculate it? He based on what is commonly called prophetic calendar of 360 days. There's no such thing as a prophetic calendar. I can tell you that. But people believe that because it has been taught in the denomination for years. You will never find a prophetic calendar. Why? Back in the book of Genesis, when God created the heavens and the earth, he created the earth. How many days was there in a year? 360, of course, because it's go around the sun. Right, remember I said that? But it wasn't a calendar. There was no calendar as we have calendar today. And after the flood, the earth became tilted, and now the earth had 365 1/4 days. And all the years and everything mentioned in the Bible are not based on prophetic years. No such thing as 360 days. Oh, but Brother God, it says 42 months. Time, times, and a half time. Huh? 1,260 days, 1,290 days in the Bible. They're all divided over by 30. Yes, I know. You see, some people take that as to say it's a prophetic time. So when you use a prophetic time, so Brother Jackson did that. And that's why he said, well, the rapture will be sometime in the year 2004. You know, but it didn't happen. Yeah, what year are we now? How many years now? 18 years already, right? So where are we at? Where are we at now? Let's go to the book of Mark 13. Mark 13 and 28 to 37. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. You all know this. Okay? What did Jesus talk about? Heaven and earth, Passover, verse 31. Verse 33, take heed and watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. So, that's one thing we know. Nobody knows the time. Okay? Alright, now go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. Revelation chapter 2. Now I want to show you an understanding here. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Now, people read this verse. Behold, I come quickly, and then they preach, oh, Christ is coming soon, Christ is coming soon. But this word was written when? Back in 96 AD. Right, behold, I come quickly, but we are looking at the church age. Okay, now, when Jesus said this, to which church age is Jesus Christ speaking to? Which church age was it? Philadelphia church age. Philadelphia church age was what? Number 6. The 6th church age, the one that just gone by. I want you to look at it very carefully. Okay? He said in verse 10, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from our temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that shall dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly, hold fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcome will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and name of the city of my God, and which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that have a ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord said to the churches. And then unto the church, angel of the church of Laodicea write. Now, look at here, I'm trying to use my hand. This is the 6th church age. This is the 7th church age. The transition period. Now, look at the year of the first of Philadelphia. 1750-1906, which was taken from Clara Larkins. And as I said, there's no such thing as a fixed date like that. Where one church ends and the next begins. Alright? That if you look at the one on top where I put a banner, I draw those banners. Those are the transition year. In my study, I use those transition year. So if you take 1750-1906, how many years is that? Huh? 146 years, right? So the period of Philadelphia Church is 146 years. But if you were to take the banner that I put up there, which is transition and overlap, 1734 to 1940, it is 180 years. Okay? Now, when we look into what Revelation chapter 3 verse 11 said, behold, I come quickly. Now, it's ending the Philadelphia church age. Right? And then he's going now into the Laodicean church age. So the transition, behold, I come quickly. So now the church now enter into the 6th, 7th church age. And you look at the 7th church age. Robert picked the year 1906 from Larkin's book. And his transition period is always 1903 to 1909, actually, more or less. But they pick 1906 as the mid. Remember this transition. Okay, now, think about it, huh? Look at the, I already give you the number of years in Philadelphia. 156. Okay, and or 180, if you take the transition. So, now, behold, I come quickly. Christ is shortening the time. He's doing a quick word. He's shortening the time. Remember, in the book of Matthew, when Jesus talks about, you know, for the elect's sake, he speaks about the Jew, right? I will shorten the day. Remember that.
So for the church, for the bride, he wanted to shorten the, he's going to cut it short. I come quickly. I will no longer delay. Revelation 10:7. In the day when in the days when the voice of seventh thunder began to utter. I mean, the day of the voice of the seventh angel. When he sounded, the mystery of God will be finished. When he sound, I will no longer delay. I'm coming quickly. I'm cutting it short. So how short is short? It must be shorter than Philadelphia. Would you not agree with me? Huh? Alright. We have a final chart. Watchman, what of the nine? Watchman, what of the nine? The watchman say, the morning cometh, then also the nine. So, you know, we ask the question, watchman, what of the nine? Our Lord Jesus said, behold, I come quickly in the night. He's cutting the night short. We are in the seven churches. Remember, there is hardly any light. Remember, Brother Bam draw those moon? Huh? There's only a little light that's left, that's going out. It's darkness. So Christ is cutting off, cutting short the seven age, or else the light will be gone. Huh? For the elect's sake, he will cut it off, cut it short. We have four watchmen of the night, four watch from the meaning, evening time, which you look at the bottom. We take 1906 as the church age, the year that the churches begin. Okay? And then the evening time, which we are in, of course, we're in evening time because Matthew 25 said, so in all these dark and shadow beautifully provided by God in the Bible, and if you can't see it, I'm so sorry for you. Okay, then we had 1993 when Brother Abraham was given the commission to with a message to run the second coming of Christ. Then he preached a message. 1953 or 1956 to 1965. That's a midnight time. Remember, at midnight there was a shout, a cry. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Matthew 25. Got it? Alright, so Brother Ben passed away in 65. Now we are in 1966. Exactly how many years from 1906? 60 years. Is it not? Yeah, 60 years. Two watch already passed. We enter into the Kupa. And that's where you see here I said, the Kupa, inside is the day star. My beloved is mine and I'm his. And his banner over me is love. As the Song of Solomon said. You get it? Outside is still darkness because the whole thing is evening time to midnight to darkness. And the, we know it is the darkest time before the dawn. Am I not right? Darkest time before the dawn. And this is why we are in the period of the darkest time before the dawn. Outside! Well, there's a great darkness, cockcrowing forces. You know, there's a lot of cockcrow that are here in Singapore. Recently, there were people complaining that this cockcrow crow any time they like. Yeah, these are false preachers. They are not real cockroaches. False cockroaches. They imitate that. Impersonating to be cockroaches trying to preach something anyway. So, cocks crowing falsely. False preacher, liars, deceiver, wandering stars. 1996. Here the morning cometh and also the night. So the morning is coming, but as the morning begins to appear, the night is also still there. Huh? What we call the dusk, or what they call that dawn, and whatever they call that twilight. I don't know, I can't get mixed up now. So right now is this. When will Jesus come? 120 years? 120 years. 120 years for again. Well, 120 years is shorter than the age of Philadelphia. Right? Yes, okay. But 120 years Well, look at 120 years. Why? Because if you go to Genesis, chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Genesis, chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Now, I know the people are arguing me better. And yeah, people, they are very argumentative. And because why? The problem is this, but I said, please, I want to tell you this. Don't just simply, you know, quote your favorite preachers without understanding the scripture. Genesis 6, 1 to 3. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wife of all which they chose. And God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. A lot of people don't understand this. We have a lot of them arguing, oh, this 120 years is when Noah took Noah 120 years to build the ark. You know, he knows nothing. There are a lot of people who do not, who think he knows what he does not know, or who think they know what they do not know. 120 years, the age is cutting down. Okay. Look at, we don't have to, but we've got to kind of go through. You all know, Genesis, you have read it, you know. The pre-flood patriarchs, all those who lived before the flood, right? All those names they listed, they were all firstborn. The age, you can see, they lived a few hundred years. Who was the oldest man? Methuselah. How old was he? God, you don't remember the oldest man? Yeah. If you don't know, it's just the way around, you're going to knock on your head. The oldest man. And then there are those who are 700 years, right? 400 years. Depends on what happened to them. But they live a few hundred years. Then after the flood, they still live a few hundred years. Until the time of Abraham. Then the age start to drop below 200 years. How old was Abraham? 175. Ishmael? 137. Isaac is 5 years older than his father. 180. Jacob? 147. Joseph? 110. Moses then came with the law. How old was Moses when he died? You should know him. You can never forget Moses. He was a lawgiver and God tied him to the law. 120 years. He died at the age of 120. Yeah. Abraham's, Moses' first 40 years, the second 40 years up to 80, and at the age of 80, he led the children of Israel out of Egypt into the wilderness. And he was not allowed to go in to the promised land. So he died out there at the age of 120. So he lived out there in the wilderness through a full 40 years. How old was Aaron when he died? Aaron was old, was the younger, older brother of Moses. He died 3 years more. He lived 3 years more, 123. Joshua and Caleb then take over and take the children of Israel into the one, into the promised land. Joshua died at 110. Caleb was unknown, not mentioned. But it was mentioned in scripture that he was very strong at the age of 85. So we see the age start coming down. Huh? So now, what age would it be if we would take a generation? When Jesus said in the book of Matthew 24, this generation not pass until all these things be fulfilled. One generation. A generation is 120 years on the basis of what God said. My spirit will not strive with man. His days shall be numbered 120 years. But of course, today's generation gets shorter and shorter. Right? I was married, I had my children before 30 years old. So a generation could be around 30 years old. But now I see there are people are getting, not many people are married in Singapore, other countries, yeah, they marry at 15 years old, right? In the Islamic country, they married at a little, I don't know. Huh? So you see, they are different. But some people said to me, no, Brother Glenn, it's 70 to 80 years only. You know how they say, why 70 to 80 years? There's always been trying to argue with me on this basis of Psalm chapter 9. Psalms 90 verse 10. Here is the song of Moses, a prayer of Moses in a song, ready? The days of our years are 70 and 10, and by reason of strength they be 80 years. Yet is their strength labored and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Now people are taking this verse out of context and say, you see, our days are only 70 to 80 years. Really? Then how do you account for the many people who live beyond 80s, 90s in Singapore? There are a lot of them, they live almost 100 years old. And recently someone, an elderly woman died, a doctor died at 104. Go to Japan and you see, how do they live? Many people are centenarian. Right? So you're already about 20 years past 80. How do you account for that? You've got to read between the context in Psalm 90. Moses was writing about what they went through out there in the wilderness. When you are in the wilderness, and here as he said, yet is the strength labored and sorrow. Yes, that's why they all died out there. Those 20 and above who do not believe, they die by the age before they're even 60 years old. Huh? But those who are born, went in there at the age of, say, 40, they can live up to another 40 years if the strength is there. Now I was thinking about this. The number means a lot of things in the scripture. I know, I can't imagine 1971. I've already gone through, by the July this year, I'll be 50th year. 50th year. Not 50th, 50 full years. But right now, I just crossed from March to April, my missionary journey completed. My missionary work is 40 full years. You say, oh, they say, oh, okay, 44 years now, I've gone through my 40th year of my, 40 years of my apostolic ministry, so where else do we go? 1 Corinthians 14, 15. 1 Corinthians 14, 15. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. And that's very important for us to do that. Pray with the Spirit, sing with the Spirit, read, understand the Bible with the Spirit. Everything that we do, do it with the Spirit of God in mind. Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We need to believe with all our hearts. And when we have in our heart, let us confess with our mouth. If not, you see, we are, the problem is that many are called, but few are, and few are chosen. We have a lot of people say, yeah, I believe the message. But many, yes, believe the message. But how few are there that truly, truly believe the message? I want you to observe something. Okay? Genesis 5:24. And he not walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Next one, go up 2 verses. And he not walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. How many times was it mentioned about he not walked with God? Twice. Right? Twice is enough to make you understand. Ingvar! Walk with God! Huh? You understand what I'm saying? Jackie, walk with God. And you are up there. Henry, whoever your name or whatever name you are, what you walk with God. You know what we got? And it was not, God took him. Go to chapter 6, verse 9. And these are the generation of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his day. And Noah walked with God. That's why God chose him. But some people say, oh, bloody God, that's not true because you know it's grace. It's all about grace. Yeah, I know it's about grace. Why don't you, as a believer, go out there and do all your vow things and see whether you are in God's grace or not? Why did Mary in the Bible found favor with God? That God chose her. Nothing special, God just chose him, just her. Okay. If you were, you want to believe like that as a foolish believer. You can say before you are ever a believer that you are a rotten creature out there and God found you. That's God's grace. But once your God has found you and you are supposed to be what? What? Play catching with God? Do whatever you like with God? Or you walk with God? Those people who know not God, they don't walk with God. You and me who knows God, we walk with God. What do you got? We walk with God, so how do we walk? How do we walk? Remember Peter? Huh? When they were fishing, and Jesus came. And Peter said, is that you, Lord? I said, yes, I am. Bid me come. Jesus, come. Peter walked, put his foot out, and he walked on the water. Did he walk on the water? Yeah, people read about, oh, he walked on the water. No, Peter did not walk on the water. He walked on the wood. Think about it. Philip, when he was taken from Samaria to the desert, how did it happen? Huh? He took an airline called the World Airline. Walk the World Airline. Philip Schwanzpott. Walk with God. Walk with the Word. So Philip flew to Samaria with the Word. On the Word, so to speak. Huh? And then he flew back to Samaria on the wood. Yeah, one day we all be going on the wood airline. Very fast. Be sure we are packed and ready. Be sure we are made ready. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord Father, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for the hour that we have. And enjoying the word, Lord, and understanding what you have for us. May each and every one of us, Lord, be found walking upon thy word. The thing that you have shown us, Lord, the truth, all these were given to us, Lord, not just for our tasting it and saying, oh, it's so sweet. But then we do it. We should digest it, Father, knowing that you work in us bitterness to cause us, Lord, to be on trial. And in that bitter trial, Lord, you strengthen us and be a full-grown, matured children of full-grown children of the living God. And that we be found continually, Father, walking upon thy holy word. Father, we thank you, Lord. Bless the word now, Lord, and continue, Lord, feed us, asking this in Jesus' name.